And for right now, let's open our Bibles to the book of Galatians. We're going to go back there and study some more. Galatians chapter 4, I'm going to start with verse number 12, and I'm going to read all the way through verse number 20. We're going to take a pretty big chunk here this morning. Galatians chapter 4, verses 12 through 20. I will have the words up here on the screen. I read out of an NASB translation. If you have your place, let me hear you say amen. Let's stand while God's word is being read here this morning. Let's start with verse number 12. And God's word says this. Again, the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, writes this. I beg of you, brethren, become as I am, for I also have become as you are. You have done me no wrong, but you know that it was because of a bodily illness that I preached the gospel to you the first time. And that which was a trial to you in my bodily condition, you did not despise or loathe, but you received me as an angel of God, as Christ Jesus himself. Where then is that sense of blessing you had? For I bear you witness that, if possible, you would have plucked out your eyes and given them to me. So have I become your enemy by telling you the truth? They eagerly seek you, not commendably, but they wish to shut you out so that you will seek them. But it is good always to be eagerly sought in a commendable manner, and not only when I am present with you. My children, with whom I am again in labor until Christ is formed in you, but I could wish to be present with you now and to change my tone, for I am perplexed about you. We'll stop right there. Father, a big chunk of scripture here that we're going to bite off here this morning and talk about. A lot of truths in here this morning, Lord. And I just pray that the truths from your word penetrate our hearts and do a work of transformation in some way within us here this morning. This I ask in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Today we continue in our expository study of the book of Galatians, and this is message number 31. And I've titled today's message, Have I Become Your Enemy? Question mark. It's the exact words that the Apostle Paul uses in verse number 16. First, a little story. After I graduated from high school in 1971, I attended a trade school called Penn Technical Institute in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. It was a 21-month course in which I would earn an associate's degree in specialized technology. And it was through that degree that I got my job at General Electric in Waynesboro. In the first 3 months of that course, we were taught the basics of electricity. And one thing I always remember the teacher saying in those first 3 months, he said this, and he would also repeat it, and I quote, electricity will always take the path of least resistance, end quote. Electricity will always take the path of least resistance. Water has that same ability. Water will take the path of least resistance. Here's another example. Quite often, people will take the path of least resistance. Now, let's narrow that down even a little bit further. Quite often, church people will take the path of least resistance. And what we have here in Galatians chapter 4, verses 12 through 20, is the Apostle Paul begging with the people in these churches not to follow. Don't follow the false teachers that are leading them right back into religious syncretism. And we talked about syncretism a few weeks ago. They wanted to go back to their Old Testament Mosaic law practices, the Sabbaths and the feast and the years and the months. And we talked about that several weeks ago. But sometimes it is so easy and convenient to follow the path of least resistance. And in this situation, here in Galatians chapter 4, following the false teachers is the path of least resistance. So let's search the scriptures here this morning, talk a little bit more about that. Paul had been to these churches about 5 years prior to writing this letter. So we think the letter was written around 50 AD. We think the Apostle Paul was there around 45 AD. Paul had been at these churches, and obviously there's some history that he clues us in on. When he first got there, obviously he had a bodily illness. And down here, you would have torn your eyes and given them to me. Paul is reminding them in these verses here of a physical condition that he had when he first preached the gospel to them. It appears he had a bodily illness of some sort, and he had an eye problem of some sort. And we don't know much about either one of these two conditions, but allow me to just speculate here a little bit, and let's use a little bit of geography. Here's a map that I've had up there before. We're going to look at it again. It's actually Paul's first missionary journey. And we can see the four cities that he went through: Antioch in Pisidia, Iconium, Lystra, and Derbe. In these four cities, he wasn't very well received in Antioch. They started to stone him when he went through Iconium. And when he was in Lystra, they did nearly stone him to death. And we can go back and read about those events in Acts chapter 14. So he's writing this letter, Galatians, to the people that were in these cities, people that wanted him dead. So could any of these beatings and stonings have led to his bodily illness or his eye problem? Yeah, quite possibly. I thought I would just bring that out here this morning. But the bottom line is that there were some who not only accepted him and cared for him in his physical condition, but these same people were very receptive to the gospel message that Paul was proclaiming. And that caring relationship was very important to the Apostle Paul. And that caring relationship went both ways. They cared for him physically, and Paul cared for them spiritually. And we can see here at the beginning of verse number 19, verses 19 and 20, he addresses them as my children, my children. He cares greatly for those who were converted under his teaching. And we see, I'm going to put the same two verses up there. He starts off by calling them his children, a very caring attitude. But at the end, let me highlight some different words, same two verses. But he says this: for I am at a loss about you. I am at a loss about you. One thing that many people will never understand is when a preacher pours his heart and soul into a congregation, and then they prefer, after some time, to go follow someone else. Especially when that someone else is a false teacher. I can understand people in a congregation moving on and going somewhere else due to certain circumstances. That's all understandable. But to sit under good teaching under the Apostle Paul, and then you go and you start listening to false teachers and following them, that hurts. That hurts. And that's why Paul says, from at a loss about you. What's happening here is this. His children have begun to follow the path of least resistance. And as parents, we understand this feeling today, don't we? We raise our children in all the right ways, and then sometimes we see them go down some wrong paths and follow people and things that we know are not in their best interest. And when that happens, our hearts ache. It's almost as if we say to our kids, "I'm at a loss about you." And our hearts ache because we love our children and we want them to be on the right path. And we see the same thing here. Paul loves his spiritual children and he wants them to be on the right path. But at this point in time, they're not. And the ultimate heartache comes in verse number 16 when he has to say this, "So have I become your enemy?" Not only have the Galatians turned to false teachers and turned their back on Paul, but now Paul is not on their good buddy list any longer. He has actually now been deemed the enemy. What has changed? He has been deemed the enemy because he has taught them the truth concerning the gospel. I've said it in here before, and I'll say it again here this morning. The truth isn't always easy, but it does matter, and it will set you free. Let's say that one again because I like it. The truth isn't always what? Easy, but it does matter because we know it will set us free. Amen. So how and why do false teachers do these sorts of things? Why do they want to change the heart of the Galatian congregation away from what Paul has taught them, because he has taught them the truth, and steer them away to a false gospel? It has something to do with taking the path of least resistance. The people in the churches at Galatia 2,000 years ago, I assure you, are no different than people in churches today. Excuse me. So many people like to take the path of least resistance. Now I'm going to give you four reasons why they do it today and why they did it back in Galatia. We have four fill in the blanks in our bulletin this morning. They all start off by saying the path of least resistance means, and then we'll talk about each one of these four. Let's go to number one. The path of least resistance means feeling more comfortable with what I believe is true versus what the Bible says is true. So the fill in the blanks are the same word, true and true, that I feel more comfortable with what I believe is true versus what the Bible says is true. We all have our sets of values and we all have our sets of beliefs. And somewhere along the line, I assure you, the Word of God is going to be contrary to what we believe. But what is easier? Following this ancient, questionable book, this one right here, that is over 2,000 years old, or following something that has been ingrained in my mind for decades? Well, the path of least resistance tells me to stick with what I know instead of what I'm not sure of. Number two, the path of least resistance means following teachers who tell me exactly what I want to hear. Tell me exactly what I want to hear. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 through 4. I have it up here and I'll read it here in a second. The book of 2 Timothy is the last book in our Bible that was ever written by the Apostle Paul. Shortly after he wrote this, he was executed in Rome. So what does he say? And this is the last chapter of the last book that he wrote. "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths. So there you have it. Paul explains it very straightforward right there. So what is easier? Following sound doctrine that demands that I have to change something about my life or my lifestyle? Or following teachers who tell me exactly what my itching ears want to hear? Well, the path of least resistance tells me to follow what I want to hear. Number three, the path of least resistance means following teachers who do not demand that I change my beliefs. Now, this one is kind of similar to the one before it. In Galatia, the gospel proclaimed by Paul was something new and it was something different. It was freedom in Jesus Christ, and it was by faith and faith alone. And it wasn't demanding like the law of Moses. And it wasn't by works is what they thought the old path of salvation was, which it really wasn't. It was always by faith all alone. So could this new teaching by Paul be right? It just doesn't seem like it's right. Well, we have our proof right back here in Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 7, where Paul says this: I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is not just another account, but there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. So what's happening is this: in come the false teachers. After Paul had left and went on his way, in come the false teachers, and they are persuading the people that the Mosaic law is still in effect. And it's as if the false teachers are saying, people, you don't have to change a thing about what you already believe. And these false teachers, they're saying this because they want to earn the favor of the people. And they're saying, all you have to do is keep all your customs, keep all your tradition, keep all your circumcision. Just add a little Jesus to that, and you won't have to change a thing about what you've already been practicing. So the people, they're okay with these false teachers because they didn't want to change a whole lot of things anyways. What is easier? Staying with this new teaching by Paul, which eliminates the law and eliminates my festivals and sacrifices, all those things that I've known for decades? Or reverting back to my old teaching, in which I'm very, very comfortable? The path of least resistance tells me to listen to the teacher who tells me that I won't have to change anything about my life. You can just stay just the way you are. And don't worry about repentance. You don't have to repent of those sins. God's forgiven you anyways. Just go ahead and continue on. And number four. I don't want this one to be confusing, but let me say it. The path of least resistance means submitting to teachers who make me feel bad about not complying to their teachings. Now, take a second to digest that. The path of least resistance means submitting to teachers who make me feel bad about not complying to their teachings. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, in Galatians 4:16, he says this: they, the false teachers, eagerly seek you, not in a commendable way. It's not that they want to pat you on the back, but they want to shut you out so that you will seek them. They shut you out so you can seek them. Let's talk about something that happens in today's society. It's like the husband or the boyfriend who mistreats his wife or his girlfriend in some abusive way, physically or verbally. And then they expect that woman to come crawling back time after time. And too often, they do. Same thing here, just on a church level. We know back in chapter 1 that these false teachers have gained the favor of the people, and the people have gained favor with the teachers. But if you want to be commended by these false teachers, you better comply with their teachings, or else they are going to turn their back on you. So which is easier? Questioning and challenging a false doctrine taught and possibly making waves within the church, or be an obedient church person and keep your mouth shut out of fear? Well, the path of least resistance means being ever faithful to the false teachers, regardless of their doctrine. And in many cases, they find themselves trapped in situations in which they cannot escape. In other words, to sum up these 4 points, as human beings, we really want to remain faithful to what we want to believe. And that's where the Galatians were. They didn't want to change. Oh, they liked the good news about Jesus, but they didn't want to give up a lot of their old practices. They wanted to hold on to the Mosaic law, and these false teachers were more than happy to oblige that to them. And it was a win-win situation. The people win, the false teachers win. And when this happens, what is the result? The result is this. In Galatia, it was now Paul who becomes the enemy. And he's no longer the good guy that they took care of under their loving care just a few years before that. So let's turn, with what we have learned about the Galatians, let's turn the clocks now to 21st century America. It is easy for good pastors and teachers of the Word of God to become the enemy. Teaching sound doctrine in churches today is not very popular. It will never make one a celebrity pastor, a new term that I've come to know within the last year, and seeing these guys on TV. Because these people will never become celebrity pastors, but the celebrity pastors seem to be the ones that are getting all the attention. Because their churches are big, and they tell the people exactly what they want to hear. And the people don't care about the rest of the doctrine, because it doesn't make any difference. Sound doctrine is narrow, and too many church people don't want narrow anymore. They want the broad path. And we all know where the broad path leads. Amen? To where? Destruction. To destruction. So let's look at these 4 points one last time and see how they apply in today's church. Because we've talked about them with the churches in Galatia. The path of least resistance means feeling more comfortable with what I believe is true versus what the Bible believes is true. Folks, we live in a world today where everything is relative. What do I mean by that? Well, your truth is your truth, and my truth is my truth. And you're right, and I'm right, because you have your truth and I have my truth. But, there's that transition word, but the true Christian believer believes in the absolute truths contained in this book right here. It's not about your truth, and it's not about my truth. It's about God's truth. Number 2, the path of least resistance means following teachers who tell me exactly what I want to hear. We live in a world today where we have thousands of different opinions about the Word of God, plastered all over churches, all over church denominations, and for sure, all over the internet. A person will eventually find exactly what their itching ears are looking for if you just look hard enough. But the true Christian believer is receptive to what they need to hear and not what they want to hear. Number three, the path of least resistance means following teachers who do not demand that I change my beliefs. We live in a world today, especially in the United States of America, where no one searches the scriptures for truth any longer. Heresy is tolerated, and sin is condoned, sin is excused, and sin is even celebrated in churches. But the true Christian believer will want to change according to the Word of God. And number four, the path of least resistance means submitting to teachers who make me feel bad about not complying to their teachings. We live in a world where some teachers demand your full obedience to them and to their teachings. Just look at, remember David Koresh? Remember Jim Jones? And there are some SECTs of the LDS, the Latter-day Saints, who demand you obey and follow everything that they teach. Even local churches and church pastors can make one feel uncomfortable if you question the pastor or the doctrine. I've said this before and I'll say it again. I'm responsible to you. I am not responsible for you. I'm not. So have you ever been tempted to take the path of least resistance when it comes to the Word of God? I certainly hope not. Galatians chapter 4, verses 12 through 20. In those verses, the Apostle Paul wonders how a congregation that he loves so dearly could have ever turned their backs on him so quickly, to the point where he is now their enemy.